In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is Meat Fair Sunday. For some, it is a Sunday of great anticipation and even on some level excitement, but not excitement like the world's excited, but a certain stirring in the soul. For others, to be honest with you, it's a little bit of a day of mourning. It's the last day to eat meat for those who would be observing the fast, and I'd recommend that you all would do that. But it's also the day that we call the Sunday of the Last Judgment. And there is this passage that we read from Matthew. Everybody knows about it. Knowing about it doesn't keep us from judging our brother, doesn't keep us from hurting our brother. It's a mystery to me why we do these things. It's a mystery for myself and my own life why I'm sometimes not kind. I hope it's mysterious to you and something that you want to get to the bottom of, that you want to understand. I thought I'd talk to you perhaps a little bit theoretically today, because we should know who we are and who God is to accomplish anything in life. You have to have a theological understanding of you as a person, what a human being is, and what a human being is becoming in order to be able to be successful in anything. That is, successful in spiritual things. You can be successful in worldly things with no belief whatsoever. So that's what I want to talk about today. We all know the story, but I'll go over it real quickly because we should certainly remember it and have it in our mind. And then I want to talk to you about how are we going to be the person that takes care of the person that's hungry, takes care of the person that's thirsty or that's in prison or sick. How are we going to make sure we take care of that person? To be honest with you, a lot of times we might see somebody and we might help them. But what about the person you do not see because you're wrapped up in yourself? That makes me wonder. You ever wondered about that? You know that one of my favorite allusions from the scripture is the Gergesenes, right? And when Jesus came and healed the two demoniacs of the demons, the demons went into the pigs and the pigs went off and were choked in the Sea of Galilee. And the people came and were afraid, and they asked him to leave, and he did. And they didn't even notice that they had God in their midst. How often does that happen to us? I think it happens to us because of our ignorance of who we are, how we were made, what our purpose is. We might say that we know such things, but we don't live with this deep conviction inside of us. And that's really what I want to talk about a little bit today. But first, we'll talk about the story. So the Lord is telling us about the Last Judgment. And the Last Judgment has to do with what kind of person you are. Who have you become on this earth? Are you a person who's kind or not kind? If you're not a kind person, then you don't have the love of God in you. So when the Lord sees a person such as that, he says, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Because we have not taken that image of God and uncovered it, taken away our sins that cover it, and had it become the likeness of God. And he gives examples of things that are kind. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. Those things. And those are not a comprehensive list. There's really 10,000s of things that are acts of kindness that we should be doing. But those are some examples. It's not a checklist if you can say, well, I fed the hungry today. I brought some beans today, so check on that, you know. I gave some clothes to Goodwill, et cetera, et cetera. It's not like that. It is, what kind of person are you going to be when the judgment comes? A person who's kind, who has a heart that loves, or a person who's indifferent. Not cruel necessarily, but indifferent. Not actively cruel, just indifferently cruel, sort of passively cruel. So that's the basic story. Now let's talk about how do we become that person that gives food to the hungry and gives water to the thirsty and clothing to the naked and visits those in sick or in prison. I think an example of that, or not an example, but the theological background for it was yesterday. Actually, it's every day. Our services are full of these things. But yesterday I heard some things in the matin service where we're praying for the dead that were just extremely profound. And I made a note to look them up and print them out and talk about them. So here's one of the hymns. Thou hast formed Adam with thy right hand, O Savior, and set him on the border between incorruption and mortality. And thou hast made him share in life through grace, freeing him from corruption, translating him to that life that he enjoyed at first. And then it continues with a prayer for those who are reposed. This really struck me. We're on the border between incorruption and mortality. Now, mortality is corruption. We're on that border. We're passing from death to life. Do you feel that passage in your life? I sure hope you do. Because if you don't, then you're insensible. How can you see God work in your life if you don't feel yourself passing from death to life? If you don't feel that you're on that cusp of incorruption, and yet there's mortality in you because you know your sins. This is very important. We are born to be immortal and to be incorrupt, and yet we act in corrupt ways. Very mysterious why we do that. But we know that we do it. If we understand what we were made for, we were made to know God intimately, to be incorrupt, then we also should understand what other people were made for, because they're the same, because we're all exactly the same. I had an interesting sort of thing that happened to me when I was in Kenya. Of course, I looked different than everybody else in the school. They were fascinated with my hair, which was soft and not like theirs. And the younger ones would touch my skin and rub it, thinking there's something different about it. Of course, there's nothing different about it, except it has less melanin in it than they have. And I talked to this class about this and a little bit about genetics and such. And since I'm Irish, I got some freckles, you know? So I pointed to a freckle, particularly dark one, and I pointed to one of the lighter-skinned girls in the class, and I said, look at that. This freckle's darker than you are. And their mouths fell open, because it was an illustration that really we are the same. I have darker skin than they do in some places on my body. We're all the same. We all are on that cusp between incorruption and mortality, sin and grace. We're all like that, every single one of us. Whether or not we're following the gospel, whether or not we're living an orderly life, or if a person is living a life of alcoholism or prostitution or anything else, we're all on that cusp. Because we were made for incorruption. If you understand that, then it's very easy to be kind to your brother, to your neighbor. And by your brother and neighbor, I mean everybody, right? Not just the people you know, not just the people you associate with, not just people in your neighborhood or your economic class or anything else, or that agree with you politically or whatever. Everyone is your neighbor. Everyone is on the border between corruption and incorruption. Or as the hymn says, incorruption and mortality. All of us are like that. If we really understand that, then we can have this motivation within us to help other people, to be kind to other people, because we're in the same fix that they are. Maybe we're a little further along. Maybe there are things that we're not doing anymore, or maybe that we never did, thank God. But we're still exactly the same, just like them. Here's another hymn that has a kind of the same sort of idea. By the way, I think all of you, if you have a spare $35, should buy the Lenten Triodion. And you should read it over and over and over again. I do. It's full of these kinds of things. And all of our services are, the Oktoikos and the Festal Menaean, that's the services that are the fixed feasts like Nativity and such. You should get those books and you should read them because they're full of pearls of wisdom that should shake you up and make you change. I hope it really shakes you up when the church is saying dogmatically now, we're on the border between incorruption and mortality. Isn't that rather amazing? Doesn't that put everything in perspective? When you're mad about somebody doing something, how stupid that is, how inconsequential it is compared to what God has done for us? So you should get these books and you should read them over and over again. And here's another one. Christ is risen, releasing from bondage Adam, the first form man, and destroying the power of hell. Be of good courage, all ye dead, for death is slain and hell despoiled. The crucified and risen Christ is King. He has given incorruption to our flesh. He raises us and grants us resurrection, and he counts worthy of his joy and glory all who with faith, a faith that wavers not, have trusted fervently in him. The main part that I want to focus on is Christ is risen, releasing from bondage Adam. Now, if you understand our theology, this is what Christ came to do, to release us from bondage, the bondage of sin and death, not just to have us be forgiven of sin, but to be released from it, for us to be free of sin, free of bondage. And if you feel any of that freedom starting to happen in your life, I hope you remember what it was like to not be free. I hope you know what it was like maybe to be addicted to sexual impurity or cursing or bitterness or anger and be free or at least somewhat free from those things. And then you can remember if you're formerly were in bondage and currently, to be honest with you, we're currently in some sort of bondage because of our sins, but hopefully less bondage than before, then you should remember those things. And then you see someone else who's in bondage and you lament for them because they were made for freedom, just like you. If you remember these two things, that we are on this border between incorruption and mortality, and Christ came to release us from bondage. Because when it says releasing from bondage Adam, it's talking about mankind. He came to release mankind from bondage. But of course, this release is something that's voluntary. He might open the door, but we have to go through it. And going through it is a lifelong experience of struggling to follow the commandments and to love our brother. I hope these things are helpful. I generally am fanatical about trying to say something practical about what you should do based upon the gospel. But this is, in my mind, it's very practical. Because if you know who you are, you know where you come from, you know where you're going to, there should be such gratitude in your heart that it should be this engine, this energy that helps you to see others that are suffering. Not just the ones that are obvious, but the ones that are not so obvious. Because I think that sometimes God will judge us for those people we do not notice that we should have noticed. And if we are understanding where we came from, where we're going to, then we're much more likely to see people's problems. I have a saying, many of you have heard it before, if you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. It's very important. Many people are going to be saved that still are addicted to various sins that are following the greatest commandment, to love. Maybe that's incomprehensible to us, but God is very attracted to those who love. And in an instant, he can cause us to be well. But that instant to be well will be at the second coming. Now we're struggling against our sins. Now this great Lent that is coming upon us really has one purpose. There's only one purpose, the great Lent. Some people think it's to fast. Some people think it's to be a little bit miserable, because a lot of people don't like the fasting. A lot of people don't like the long services, things like that. There's only one purpose to Great Lent. The purpose of Great Lent is to be ready for the grace of God to come upon you so that you can feel his grace and you can retain his grace. Because Pascha is a time of a great outpouring of joy and God's grace upon us. But if we're insensible to that grace, then it just bounces off us. Just like water goes off hard ground and goes into the gutter. So this is the time for being more aware of your sins, but not just for the sake of repenting, but to be transformed. Because your sins are in the way. They're not only, of course, offensive, but they're in the way. They're in the way of you going from mortality to corruption. They're in the way of you becoming free. And God wants you to be free. And when you're completely free, then when kapaska comes upon you, you'll feel joy that you've never, ever felt before. Joy that cannot be described. And it certainly can't be described with human emotions. It is where God is in the deep heart and you're aware of him. That's what what Great Lent is for. It's a preparation time. So I hope you put in the work. And there's work. There's fasting. There's services that you should be coming to, long services. There's additional prayer that you should be doing. There's being honest with yourself and looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you know, that's kind of ugly. I do ugly things. Admitting to yourself, becoming more honest with yourself. It's a difficult thing to do. But the purpose of it is completely so. When you come to Pascha, you feel the grace of God and it just permeates all of you. That's what this is. It's a preparation period. And that's why I said at the beginning that for some of us, this is a period of great excitement. I love this period because we're just about to get into it. Now, I'm going to mess up the first week. I'm not going to do something right. But I'm going to do a few things right. And maybe a few more things as we go along. And God is going to talk to me. He's going to form me a little bit. Because I'm going to present myself as clay to the potter and say, please, form me. And he will. That's what's going to happen during Great Lent. I hope it happens for you as well. And I hope that you're aware of how beautiful you are and also how ugly you act. If you're aware of how beautiful you are, that you were made for beauty, you were made for freedom, you were made for incorruption, you were made to be free, and yet you don't act free and you don't help other people to be free, and sometimes you act ugly. If you understand that and kind of put it all together, that's how you learn to be kind to other people. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.